We come to the end of our series on learning on giving. We've learned an awful lot in the past few weeks from the Old Testament and the New Testament what the Bible teaches about giving. And today we learn, as we finish up, from Paul's letter to the Philippians about their giving to him. When it comes to success and accomplishment, one of the most important factors involved, which has a major influence on the outcome of things that we do, is the determination by which we do those things. If one is not determined to accomplish something, the outcome of what they do is largely different than when one is determined to do those things, to do them in their power, all their power, to make things work. When we lack determination, we lack success. Determination and success are directly connected in everything that we do and who we are and what we say and how we live. Not to be confused with stubbornness, determination is when one makes up their mind to see something through no matter what the cost. In other words, the person is willing to go the extra mile, to see something completed, doing all that's necessary to complete it. If one word described the Macedonian churches during the day of the Apostle Paul's ministry, it would have been determination, especially in their giving. And the thing that they were determined to do was to help their Christian brothers and sisters in need, people that they didn't even know, hundreds and hundreds of miles away. They set a good example for us in the way Paul describes them, as we talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they didn't do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, then to us, in keeping with God's will. They were determined to be part of this offering that Paul was taking back to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And it was important for them to be part of that. Paul would go on to teach that giving should be willingly, it should be generously, and it should be cheerfully. And it's clear that Paul was also teaching that giving should be with determination, so that one's Christian brothers and sisters would be blessed and not be in need. If we remember, he says that our desire is not that others might be relieved while you're hard-pressed, but that there might be equality among the Christian brothers and sisters, that there would be equality in the church. This was the theme of giving throughout the entire Bible. In the Old Testament, aside from the sacrifices and the things people were supposed to do, they were to tithe to the temple, take their tithes to the temple. These were tithes of their grain, their cattle, their herds, their flocks, things like that. And if they could not take them to Jerusalem, they could sell them and take the money and go there and give the money, or buy the animals there and give them. But the purpose was to give them at the temple. And in the temple was a storehouse where these things were kept, and there were places where the animals were kept. And the purpose of that was to supply the needs of God's people as they had need. In the New Testament, we find in Paul teaching in 2 Corinthians that the purpose was for equality amongst God's people. That just as in the days when the people gathered the manna, the purpose for giving was that in the present time, someone's plenty would supply what someone else needed, so that in turn, their plenty would supply what this person needed when the time came. You see, there'd be this back and forth equality of giving to supply the needs of God's people. Such as in the same way with the manna, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little, so that everybody would have enough to supply their needs. Giving is a service to the saints, as Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9. There's no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints. He talked about this in his commending the Macedonians. They pleaded for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. The offering was to go to the other Christian believers to help them in their needs. And when Paul wrote from Philippians a few years later, he refers to our responsibility in giving. He thanked the Philippian church as he was in prison. And every time he remembered them in all his prayers for all of them, he always prayed with joy because of their partnership in the gospel. Their partnership in the gospel. You see, as believers, we become partners with each other, interconnected between ourselves, connected together as the church. Though we're different people, we come together and partner together in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't join the church to join a club, to join a group that does good, or to be a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian. We join the church to become partners in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, of sharing the good news and the love of Christ with the whole world. That's the purpose of the church. That's why we come together and become partners and join, so that we can be connected with something divine, something much larger than we can ever come up with here on earth. And he was thanking them and reminding them that in his prayers, he was joyful because of their partnership in the gospel, because what they had done, they had supplied his needs when he was in prison. And he says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, what he was saying to them was, in as much as they had provided for him, he was thanking God for them, praying for them with joy because they were partnered with him in this work of the gospel and in giving and showing God's love, knowing full well that because they were true partners in the gospel, they would not stop with Paul, but they would continue on giving where there was need to the brothers and sisters in Christ until Christ came back again and took the believers up to be together for all eternity. Elsewhere, Paul states in Galatians chapter 6, so then, while we have the opportunity, he says to the Galatians, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The New Living Translation says it like this: whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to our Christian brothers and sisters. As partners in the gospel, together, we're family members of the body of Christ. Paul was complimenting the believers in Philippi for their support during his time of need. Their help brought new life to Paul when he needed it. I want you to think about this. Their help to Paul brought Paul new life when he needed it. Isn't that what the church is all about? New life, bringing new life and hope to the world. Isn't that what we as Christians, resurrection people, should be doing? Resurrecting, bringing new life to people, to the world, to those in need, especially to the brothers and sisters in Christ. If we really are concerned about our family and really love the church, we should be determined, especially when we give, that this family will not die, but that we will, through Christ, carry on our offerings until the day Christ comes back, and we'll carry on in giving with determination as much as we're determined to support this cause and that cause, this team and this group and this club that we're in, and giving our time and our money to them, we should be more determined in supporting the church and our brothers and sisters in Christ. In giving help to Paul, they were sharing in his troubles, they were providing all that he needed so that their brother in the faith would be uplifted and amply supplied. At the end of his letter, now mind, this is the beginning of his letter, he thanks God and tells them that he prays with joy because of their partnership in the gospel. He closes his letter a few chapters later by saying, "It was good for you to share in my trouble. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only." The Philippians were the first ones to help Paul when he was in need, to share with him, to take their partnership in the gospel seriously. "Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid, not just once, again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account." He wasn't looking for a gift. He was looking for their faith. What he wanted was their committedness to the gospel. He wanted them to live out their confession of faith as believers. "I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God." Remember, we talked about this. There's no dollars and cents amount here. It's not about tithing. It was a fragrant offering, acceptable and pleasing to God, because they gave out of their committed hearts. We talked about that several weeks ago, about how when your heart's in the right place, you always give enough, because your heart will motivate you and your heart will guide you when it comes time to give. "These offerings are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, and because they gave generously, willingly, cheerfully to Paul, he assured them, 'My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus.'" The famous scripture, Philippians 4:19. "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." He's saying to them, "Because you gave to me when I was in need, God will give to you when you're in need." And that's the way it works as believers. Giving determined to support our Christian brothers and sisters here in our community and around the world. And we do that when the plate this past on Sunday morning. We talked again about that, the importance of giving first and foremost at the Lord's house on the first day of the week. In the beginning and ending of his letter here, Paul is expressing gratitude for their faithfulness, which helped him. And their faithfulness came from a determination to live as partners of the gospel, determined not to let hardship destroy their family. We think about that in the context of today, the church today. We watch today as the church is dissolving, as membership is declining by the thousands each year in all denominations, in all areas of the church. Yeah, there are some churches that are growing, some places in the world where the church is growing more than others. But when we stand back and look at the church, especially the church in the West, and I'm talking about in our society and culture in the United States today, we watch the church slowly dissolve and more people in need. There's an old famous hymn. This states, "I'm so glad to be part of the family of God, washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. And I'm glad to be a part of the family of God." as the family of God, the number one service that we can provide to our Christian brothers and sisters is the giving. And we make that commitment when we join the United Methodist Church. We say, I will. When we're asked the question, will you uphold and support the United Methodist Church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and just recently we've added to that, your witness. Through all those things, we're not supporting a club. We're not supporting an association, although sometimes it seems like we are. We are supporting our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ in our church and around the world through our offerings. The church has a great enemy. Always has, always will. And the enemy is the devil. And he is constantly trying to destroy the family of God. Trying to destroy this partnership that we have. And one of the ways that he's doing it is financially. By whispering in our ear, oh, you don't want to give there. They don't know how to use your money. Oh, you don't want to give there. Think of what that money will buy you. Oh, you don't want to give that much. Put that back in your pocket. Just give a little bit so you have more for yourself. Our enemy seeks to destroy the family. We must be determined not to let that happen. We must be determined to go the extra mile in our giving in the church on Sunday mornings. On the first day of the week, as Paul said, as we've prospered, looking back on our lives and seeing how much we've prospered. And when we give determined, we let our hearts be our guide. We give generously, we give willingly, we give cheerfully as an act of grace toward others, remembering that as Christians we're able and willing and determined to be examples to the world of Christ, who, though he was rich, became poor so that for our sakes you and I might know the glorious riches of eternal life. It's a great day, to perfect timing for the Lord to wrap this up on World Communion Sunday, because when we participate at the Lord's table, we remember we're partners in something much larger than this world. We are the family of God. And as God has prospered us in the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we live our lives out as partners together, giving and giving over and over as they did to Paul, willingly, cheerfully, generously, as an act of grace toward others, that the whole world might know the goodness of God through partners in the gospel, giving new life to the world, giving hope to the hopeless, providing much where there's nothing through our tithes, our offerings, and our giving. Join with me together as we confess our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty,